Hi, folks. I think we can get a good number in the choir tonight. If she'll play something else there, and if our marching music, so everyone that would help us in the choir tonight, please come. Let's have a big choir. Come on. Let's get a hymn, please, and turn to page number 553. Page 553. Found your place. Let's all stand and sing this.
Family, and so much to pray for. so much to pray for. I'm going to ask Brother Brother Bright. If he'll come and, you know, that's okay for Preacher Roy, but it ain't okay for me. So.
Just so you remember to call me at dinner time. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us this day, this lifetime. Father, our time in this church, Father, we bless your name. Father, thank you for every member of this church, Father, the leadership, Father, all the way down to the newest member. I pray, Father, you continue to bless us, Father. Use us to honor and glorify thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be in our service tonight. Anoint your servants and bring your word. I pray, Father, that you give that special unction of the Spirit of God to be able to say with boldness and proclaim those things that we stand in need of. Sweet Spirit of God, prepare our heart to receive what you have in store for us. And Father, those that's been mentioned, Father, sick and Lord, facing surgeries and different physical ailments, I pray, Father, that you might intervene, that above all, they might know the comfort and the peace that comes on them from the great comfort, the Holy Ghost himself. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Page 88.
I still believe.
bring out his book without singing. Thank you.
Thank you. receive the evening offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, once again for the opportunity to be in your house. Father, we thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us today. God, we just come to praise your name tonight, Father, because you are worthy. You're a great God. You're a mighty God. You're a wonderful God. Father, every adjective that I could think of, God, none of them is adequate to describe your goodness and your greatness, Father. Father, we just ask that you would be in this service. Bless Preacher Gunn. As he brings the message, God, and thank you for him and Pastor Roy and Pastor David and all the preachers that you called in this church, God. And just, God, I just lift them up to you in prayer. God, just use them in a mighty way for your kingdom, God, and ask for you to bless this offering and use it for your kingdom. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do not have anyone scheduled to sing, so this is a good opportunity. If you feel like the Lord has given you a song tonight, this would be a perfect time. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? I think it's just been a good day. I'm sure.
Sir.
Let's all stand just for a minute here. Let's all stand again. Sing this with me.
God is so God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
I praise your name.
A lot to praise him for tonight. He has been good to us. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 139 tonight, just for a few minutes. Psalms 139. Be brief tonight. I just have a few thoughts on my heart, and I'll tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told all of her seven wives. It won't last too long tonight. So Psalms 139. You know, this morning we had the privilege and a great opportunity to dedicate Caden Crew to the Lord and give him back to the Lord. And I was thinking as holding that precious child, how innocent and how humble and how fragile this human being, this young life is, all that's been going on in our news lately. I was thinking over the past several months, we've heard a lot about how some states have passed horrendous laws concerning abortion and the killing of newborn babies. On January 22nd of this past year, the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, a Democratic governor by the name of Andrew Cuomo in New York, he signed in a law called the Reproduction Health Act. It's basically an act, a legislative law that basically legalizes the killing of an unborn child up to and within birth. I've heard a lot about lately this term called infanticide. And you'll hear it a lot more often, no doubt, and it's being discussed. And this infanticide, it's just a nice way, a lesser way, a more common way to define the killing of an infant. They call it infanticide. And I'm not a good debater. I am simple-minded. I cannot articulate arguments. And I can't persuade you on my thoughts or my beliefs, but tonight I can show you in the Word of God what He thinks about it. In Psalms chapter 139, we see the psalmist is writing. He's praising God for being an all-knowing God, an all-caring God, an all-seeing God that we spoke about this morning. We see here in Psalms 139, it's a psalm that's uplifting. And it's praising Him for who He is and what He's done and what He's able to accomplish. We find here in verse number 1, the psalmist starts out by saying, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me." You know, we've seen that this morning, how God, to those that are special to Him, to those that He views important and unique and special to Him, that He knows all about us. He knows our poverty. He's seen our affliction. He hears our plea. He knows our cry. That He even knows our pain and our sorrow. And He's able to do something about it. How He comes to His children and He plucks them up out of that adversity that they are facing. We see here in Psalms 139, the psalmist is writing this psalm and being inspired by the Holy Ghost. And he's saying, "Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me." And we'll pick up our reading here in verse number 13. Psalms 139, verse 13. The Bible says, the psalmist writing under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, "For Thou hast possessed my reins and covered me in my mother's womb." I began to think about that word possessed this afternoon, and it's the word to purchase. It's the word to buy. It's the word to redeem. The psalmist is saying here, "Lord, You have possessed me. You have purchased me. You have owned me, and You have acquired me. You have redeemed me." And we've seen that this morning, that those that are special to God, He's paid a hefty price. He's paid an awesome price, a great price, a large sum. And this sum was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, "You've purchased me. You've possessed me. You own me, Lord." He's saying here, not only from my enemies and not only from those that are attacks from without and within, "You've protected me from sickness. You've protected me from my suffering. You've protected me, and covered me with Your grace and with Your mercy. And You've been so kind to me." I was thinking about David, maybe some things that was going on in his mind. He was saying, "Lord, You've possessed me. You've been with me in the battle. You stood beside me when I faced Goliath. You were there when I slew the bear and the lion. You were there and protected me from the fowler's snare. And Lord, even in my mother's womb, Thou hast covered me." Out of all the things of life that come about,
The battles and the trials and the storms and the adversities we face. He's saying, Lord, thou hast covered me. You own me, Lord. In verse 13, thou hast possessed my reins and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I'm thankful God tonight is in the covering business. He's covered us in his mother's womb. He's covered us with grace. He's covered us with mercy. He's covered us and forgiven and pardoned our sins by his blood. And just as those cherubims would cover the mercy seat with their wings, there's one in heaven that's covered us, that's overshadowing us, and it's covered us with his precious blood, with his love, and with his kindness to us. It's the idea of being fenced in, to be hedged about is the word. It's the idea of being covered, of being hedged about this lofty one. David's saying here in our text, when I was in my mother's womb, you possessed me, you owned me, you loved me, you cared for me, you covered me. And God told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I'm glad he knows me, yet he loves me. And he knows you, and yet he still loves you this tonight. Not only does he care for our soul, he loved us enough to cover us while we were in the very womb of our mother. I'm talking about the goodness of God. We see here it's the God's possession, what God owns, what God deems worthy, what God has purchased, what God has acquired. It's God's possession. But notice in verse 14, we see God's praise. He's covered us. He's protected us. He's overshadowed us. He's hedged us and fenced us in from the very moment we were in our mother's womb. But in verse 14, he goes on to say, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The word fearfully is honorably. It's astonishingly. He's saying, I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. The word made, it's the word to be unique. It's the word to be special or distinguished or one of a kind, as a craftsman can only form it with his craftsmanship, to being set apart and so special. I think what the Holy Ghost is telling David, and he's telling us tonight, that every baby, every child, when we were in our mother's womb, every one of us tonight is a masterpiece, is special, is a designer work, is unique to God. And I know this is not good English, but I want to say tonight, God don't make no mistakes. What he does is right, and what he does is good. This God of all creation, he made the stars in heaven, he made the moon and the suns, and they faithfully praise him. They faithfully give their light. Those stars eliminate light and illuminate light, and they even illuminate sound. They're faithful to praise him. But the psalmist says in verse 14, I will praise thee. It's the Hebrew word, and I believe I've discussed it before, yada. It's the Hebrew word continuous, to go on and on and on, to be never ending or to never stop or to be continuous. If you have someone that talks all the time, if you have someone that just never is quiet and keeps going on and on and on, you may say yada, yada, yada. That's the word. It's a continual, ongoing, never endless, without stopping, never ending. He said, Lord, I will yada, I will continually, ever ending, praise you. For what? For covering me in my mother's womb. For protecting us. For being with us. The word praise, it's the idea to throw. It's the idea to hurl. It's the idea to toss. He's saying, God, for all you've done for me from the moment I was conceived in my mother's womb, I'm going to continuously hurl some praises, hurl some thanks, throw some goodness to the one that formed me in my mother's womb. It's a God's praise. The Bible tells us that every little baby from the time of conception is special and is unique and is God's masterpiece. You see, it's easy to love these little childs like little Caden this morning. So sweet and so innocent. But David, just like me and just like you, fail him continually. fail him and miss the mark. We fall short. We sin on a daily basis. And it's a wonder that God still loves us. And we ought to praise him. What a creator. What a maker. And what a savior. We ought to praise him tonight. We see God's possession. I notice in verse 14, God's praise. I see in verse number 16, God's penetrating knowledge. In verse 16, he said, "Thy eyes did see my substance." Now, David's still thinking about being in the mother's womb. He's being formed and conceived, being covered, being known, being observed, being watched in his mother's womb. And in verse number 16, he says, "My eyes did see my substance." The word substance is the word strength. It means the strength or bones. He's saying, "Lord, as my strength or as my bones begin to form," he's saying, "Lord, your eyes did see it." But what did he see? He said, "The eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect." Unperfect. It's a weird word that means to be folded up. And we get our English word fetus. He was saying, "Lord, when I was in my mother's womb, when I was in the fetal position, when I was folded up, your eyes seen me, you knew me, you observed me, you covered me, you perceived all about me, you saw I was folded up, and Lord, you loved me so much, you thought I was so unique, I was so special." Look what he does. "Yet being imperfect," or being folded up in my mother's womb, being that fetus in my mother's womb, "and in thy book, all my members were written." God has a book for everything. I was thinking about the book of life. This book of life, every living soul is recorded and listed. He has a Lamb's book of life, where every born-again Christian, blood-washed child of God is written down. He has a book that records every wicked deed every lost man or lost woman commits. And this book, it'll be opened at the great white throne judgment. But notice in our text, there's a book, or it's the word scroll, there's a book that every characteristic that each unborn baby is being recorded. He's saying, "Lord, your eyes did see my substance. You see my strength. You see my bones. You seen me being formed and growing, yet being imperfect, being folded up in my mother's womb when I was a fetus. In thy book, all my members are written." You know, there's nothing about us tonight from the moment we were conceived that God has not recorded. And tonight, he knows our name. He knows our poverty. He knows our plea. He knows our pain. And the moment from conception to our last breath, he observes, records, and writes down. Now, we have children in our midst tonight, and I'm not going to talk about those horrendous things that take place during that process of aborting a new baby, and the terrible process that happens. But you know what it partakes of. And I just want to say tonight, by the authority of the word of God, that every member that may be removed, God has it recorded. In our text, there's a book that's written that observes and scrolls and writes down all the things, even the numbers of hair on her head. And we're being told here that God is making a record of all this. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 16, he says, "Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in the book all my members were written, which were fashioned when it yet there was none of them." This word fashioned, it's the word for potter. It's the man that forms a man that molds clay into something that's uniquely useful or uniquely lovely. And we see that that's what God is doing. And we see his possessions, how God possesses us. We see how God, we should give praise to God. We see God's thoughts and his knowledge, his penetrating thoughts and knowledge. But in verse 16, I see God's precious thoughts to us. Verse 17, the Bible says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Now, David's thinking about when God knew him as he was covered in his mother's womb. And he said, he comes to this conclusion. He said, God, your thoughts towards me are precious. Even though I'm sinful in nature, even though I'm impure, and even though I'm prone to wander, you take and you look and you, and I take my blessings for granted, and you look at my faults and my failures and you cover me. How precious are those thoughts? The word thoughts, it's to highly esteem or to be highly valued or considerably costly or greatly prized. He's saying, oh God, how precious or how costly or how valued are your thoughts toward me? He's telling David, he's telling me, he's telling Fletcher First Baptist Church, the God of all heaven thinks a lot about us. He thinks so much of us, he's seen us being formed in our mother's womb. He goes on to say, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. That, oh God, it's Elohim, El, the strong God, the mighty God, the powerful God, the strong one. This strong one, this beloved one, the Son of God, the sweet Holy Ghost, loves us and he cares for us and he thinks precious thoughts about us. Oh God, oh strong one, oh mighty one, how great is the sum of them. I was thinking the Lord has been thinking a lot about us. You say, that's pretty conceited to say, preacher. That's what the Word of God says. He says, how precious, how costly are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. He's saying, Lord, I can't calculate how much you think about me. Lord, I can't comprehend or even try to measure, count your blessings or number your rewards or measure your goodness. Oh, God, how great are the sum of them. See, God, I don't think we can realize he thinks a lot about you and I tonight. He loves us. He died for us. He owns us. He redeemed us. He purchased us by his precious blood. How great is the sum of them. Notice he keeps writing in verse 18. He says, if I should count them, if he should count the thoughts, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. They're never ending. They're never endless. And when we begin to think about this and think about the thoughts of God and how he loves us so dearly and he's covered us and owns us, we ought to praise him. We ought to throw those thoughts or throw those blessings or throw those praises his way. Continuing, and he says in verse 18, and when I awake, I'm still with thee. You know, that ought to make a shout right there. He's saying, Lord, your thoughts are numerous. I can't count them. They're more than the number of sands. He's saying, when I was, before the eternity ever began, you were thinking on me. You had me on your mind. When I was being formed in my mother's womb, you covered me, you owned me, you possessed me, you acquired me. And when I fail you to give you praise, and when I fail in sin and fall short, you're still there. He's saying, when I go to bed at night, you're thinking about me. But notice, when I awake, I'm still with thee. Now, he thought about me this morning. He's thinking about you this very moment. But when you wake up in the morning, the God of all heaven is still going to be there thinking about you. You're so special to him. They bless his holy name tonight. I'm thinking, he's saying here, when I awake, I'm still with thee. He's still there. He's thinking of us. Constant, continuous, never ending. Thinking about the blessings. Thinking about the goodness. David's saying, God, thou hast searched me and thou hast known me. You knew when I was in my mother's womb. You possess me. You own me. And the number of your thoughts are countless. God's possessions, God's promises, God's penetrating knowledge. And we see God's precious thoughts in these four short verses. I just want to say tonight, in front of Fletcher First Baptist Church, I'm glad God's got me on his mind. I'm glad he thought about me when I was being formed in my mother's womb. I'm glad when I go to bed tonight and wake up in the morning, I'll still be on his mind. I'll bless his name. Let's stand tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Father, for your thoughts toward us. We thank you tonight, Father, that you cared enough for us to die for us. And Lord, we thank you tonight, Father, when we were in our mother's womb, you were there. And God, I pray that you'd forgive us. Father, forgive our land, forgive our nation. Lord, we've committed atrocious sins, Father, sins that are terrible and horrendous. And God, I pray that you'd forgive our land and forgive our nation. Lord, I pray you'd put a burden in your people's heart to pray, to seek your face, to praise you, God, for who you are and for what you've done. Lord, I pray you'd be with our leaders, and Lord, you'd turn their hearts back to you. God, let me be a light. Let me be a mouthpiece, Father, for your honor and for your glory. And Father, that you'd be exalted and uplifted. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. We thank you for the promises of the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that you care so much for us, that we're continually on your mind. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And I never, ever want to not praise him when given the opportunity. And for those of you that know me, I don't like sitting up here by myself and singing, but I feel like sometimes he wants you out of your comfort zone.
Right.
And so I just want to sing and praise him tonight. Today I face a mountain. Once again it seems so tall. I tried to climb it, but it seemed I'd surely fall. So once again I called on Jesus.
Yes.
And just as always I felt his presence.
Amen.
His hand of mercy, it lifted me just in time.
Yes.
So I want to thank him. I want to praise
yes.
him.
Yes.
His grace has been sufficient. And
yes.
like before, he's given victory one more
Bless
time. He was always standing
always.
By my side
yes.
when the valley was low and the river was wide.
Yes.
I want to thank him. I want to praise him
Amen.
One more time.
Bless yes.
Looking back on this journey, Since the day I first met him, so many times his love and mercy has rescued me. So once again, I'll come before him. And one yes. more time, I'll stand and praise him for all his goodness. Lord, you have been so good to me. So I want to thank him. I want to praise him.
Yes.
His grace has been sufficient.
Yes.
And like before,
bless
he's given victory one more time.
Hey.
He was always standing by my side when the valley was low.
Him.
I want to praise him one more time.
Hey, bless his name. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Yes, we do. Anyone else? God's people said, amen, amen. All right. Brother Steve Penix, you mind dismiss us in prayer, brother?